Hello, this is Charlie Bose reading the News Gazette for February 10th, Friday. I'll start with the article at the top of the first page. Man charged with living, voting in U.S. illegally. The subtitle is Valencia Sandoval, resident of Urbana since 05, allegedly used stolen identity. It's by Tom Kasich. A Mexican national who has lived in Urbana since 2005, allegedly used a stolen identity, was arraigned Thursday on 7 federal counts, including 4 related to voting by an illegal immigrant. Miguel Valencia Sandoval, 33, who allegedly had been using the identity of a Texas man named Ramiro G. Vasquez, pleaded not guilty to the charges before Magistrate Eric Long at U.S. District Court in Urbana. Valencia Sandoval's arraignment came on the same day that new U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions was sworn in, stressing that the nation needs a lawful system of immigration. Sessions vowed to uphold immigration laws that he claimed went largely unenforced during the Obama administration. We need to end this lawlessness that threatens the public safety, pulls down wages of working Americans, he said. If you continually go through a cycle of amnesty for the undocumented, you undermine the respect for the law and encourage more illegal immigration into America. Federal authorities declined to comment on whether the voting-related charges were tied to President Donald Trump's ongoing claims of illegal voting. An affidavit accompanying the criminal complaint said that authorities were tipped off to Valencia Sandoval's real identity last August when the Piatt County Sheriff's Office was informed that he had been living under Vasquez's name for about 11 years. Valencia Sandoval most recently has worked for an Urbana drywall contractor. Last month, Valencia Sandoval was arrested at the U.S.-Mexico border in Laredo, Texas, when he attempted to re-enter the country with a Texas birth certificate and State of Illinois ID card bearing the name of Ramiro Guerrero Vasquez. During an interview with agents on January 7th, Valencia Sandoval admitted, according to a federal affidavit, that he was not the true owner of the birth certificate and that in March 2005 he had purchased it from Oscar Guerrero Vasquez, Ramiro Guerrero Vasquez's brother, for $50,000. Valencia Sandoval, who lives in the 0-100 block of Ivanhoe Drive, Urbana, also admitted that he did not have Ramiro Guerrero Vasquez's permission to use his identity, had used the identity to live in Illinois since March 2005, had obtained driver's licenses, bank accounts, and loans for vehicles, had opened 2 restaurants that have since been sold, and obtained a lawful permanent resident card for his wife. The couple has 4 children, all born in the United States, said his attorneys, Tony and Evan Bruno. He also acknowledged, the affidavit said, that he is a citizen of Mexico present in the United States without having been legally admitted or paroled. The affidavit also noted that fingerprint queries showed that Valencia Sandoval had twice before been encountered by authorities. It didn't say where or when, without having been arrested. The indictment alleges that Valencia Sandoval made a false statement of U.S. citizenship on a passport application in April 2012. Another charge alleges he made a false claim of citizenship in order to vote in an election. 2 felony charges of aggravated identity theft, one for using Vasquez's identity to get a passport, and another for using the identity to vote in an election, were part of the indictment. Lastly, he was charged with 3 misdemeanor counts of voting in an election by an illegal immigrant for having voted in general elections in 2012, 2014, and 2016. Local federal officials acknowledged the election-related counts are unusual, but declined to comment further. Asked whether Valencia Sandoval could be deported, Sharon Paul, the public information officer for the U.S. Attorney's Office, said, "That's a question for immigration." Valencia Sandoval faces prison terms of between 10 years and 1 year for each of the counts, plus fines. Assistant U.S. Attorney Brian Frears is prosecuting the case, which is tentatively set for a jury trial in April before U.S. District Judge Colin Bruce. Also Thursday, a separate indictment charged Salvador Garcia Lunt, 27, of the 1700 block of Henry Street, Champaign, with making a false statement of U.S. citizenship and aggravated identity theft in March 2016 on a passport application. He also is charged with possession of a firearm by a prohibited person, an illegal immigrant, on January 4th. Here's another article on the front page of the Friday, February 10th News Gazette. City wants diverse pool of officer candidates. Colleges, veterans among search targets. It's by Natalie Wickman. After getting City Council approval Monday to hire 2 new officers, the police department is moving ahead with job advertising and recruiting strategies to yield diverse candidates. Elizabeth Borman, Urbana's Assistant Human Resources Manager, said the department advertises at nearby colleges and universities in addition to reaching further out to schools, including Roosevelt University, Northeastern Illinois University, Robert Morris University, and Indiana University Northwest. These have been ranked as top schools for campus ethnic diversity in the Midwest by U.S. News & World Report, Borman said. We also advertise at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, Fisk University, and Tennessee State University, which are historically black universities. We do not specifically target criminal justice majors, but rather a diverse array of concentrations, including psychology, sociology, and other liberal arts. The department also uses military veterans as a recruiting pool. Borman said a veteran's leadership skills and experience with diverse populations are attractive qualifications. Using U.S. Department of Defense demographic reports, approximately 25% of the armed forces are minorities, Borman said. When it comes to recruiting women, Borman said there's a woman in law enforcement career fair program that Deputy Chief Sylvia Morgan works on. The United States has a national testing network for officer recruits, which Borman said Urbana joined in 2016 to expand entry-level testing options. We are now able to offer the same test administered both in Urbana and throughout NTN testing sites, Borman said. Applicants may test in Urbana at no cost or choose any testing location at one of the approximately 125 NTN locations nationwide. We pay for a membership to NTN, which allows us access to increased visibility nationwide, as well as the ability for candidates to have flexibility when they test. There's also one job advertising method that doesn't cost the department a dime, the officers themselves. A significant percentage of our candidates have become interested in pursuing law enforcement because they know someone who is a UPD officer or have met our chief of police or command staff, Borman said. Others have had a positive interaction with a police officer either here or somewhere else. Borman noted how life moments where police are involved can particularly stand out to someone and leave a mark. In a very difficult situation, a police officer has been a positive image, and that memory has stayed with the person for the rest of their life, Borman said. They now want to be the same for others. Another article from the front page, Pretty in Pink. There's a picture captioned, Alia Kenner left, smiles at her mom, Maria McDivitt, on Wednesday as Alia models the dress she is going to wear to the Night to Shine prom tonight at First Christian Church. Her prom path, karaoke, flirting, a lot of dancing. The article is by Nicole LaFond. Alia Kenner is your typical 20-year-old. She loves wearing pink on Wednesdays because of Mean Girls. She's obsessed with keeping up with the newest hits by her favorite artists, especially Nicki Minaj on Spotify. She's a little sassy and is constantly on her iPhone uploading selfies to Instagram and chatting with best friend Gabby Purchase. And ahead of Night to Shine, tonight's prom event at Champaign's First Christian Church for those with special needs, Kenner has the same jitters as any young adult anticipating a night of dancing. She's undecided about whether she wants her photo taken by the paparazzi crowd that will greet guests as they walk down a red carpet to enter the prom. She's definitely planning to do her own hair and makeup instead of taking advantages of the services provided at Night to Shine. She's already practicing for karaoke. We're going to break it down and sing. No Bieber, he's my boo, and I want to marry him, but definitely Usher Raymond, which is what she and Purchase affectionately call the contemporary R&B artist Usher. Another thing she's certain she'll do, meet new people, maybe some boyfriends, maybe getting some phone numbers. Kenner's not shy about her excitement for flirting, but she has no plans to ask any new guy friends to dance. That's way too embarrassing and too awkward, she said. Rather, that activity will be safe for her and her best friend. Purchase and Kenner are known for their dance skills, says Kenner's mom, Maria McDivitt. I hope she does a lot of dancing. She's a really good dancer, so is Gabby. They could definitely be the life of the party if they're both feeling okay that night and don't get too overwhelmed, McDivitt said. Tonight's Champaign event, a Christian program sponsored by the Tim Tebow Foundation, will be among more than 350 proms happening simultaneously at churches around the world. Night to Shine is designed for anyone with special needs over the age of 14 to come out and enjoy an evening of pampering and dancing. When guests arrive at the front door, they'll be welcomed inside by a red carpet and a friendly crowd. Friendly crowd of people taking pictures. Once inside, there's an assortment of luxury services available, including hair and makeup stations, shoe shining, limousine rides, flowers, a catered dinner, singing, and prom party favors. Guests will be invited to dance or participate in any activity they desire. A king and queen will even be crowned. The Tim Tebow Foundation, which has been sponsoring the event annually since 2015, provides participating churches with a planning manual and a decoration kit that includes gifts for guests, according to First Christian organizers. Kenner and McDivitt found out about it through Kenner's younger sister, who participates in Centennial High School's Best Buddy program, and will attend the prom as a volunteer. McDivitt plans to stick around throughout the evening as well. She can't wait to see her daughter, who was born with Down syndrome, blossom and thrive with her peers. This means a lot to me. It's a great opportunity for Aliyah, but also for all the kids in our community with special needs, she said. We have a lot of really good programs in Champaign, and I think this just adds to it. I hope she goes and just relaxes and has a good time. It's hard sometimes finding social things for her, and just to know I could drop her off, I'm planning to stay, and she's safe, and people are paying attention, and she can relax and be just 20, and I can just let her be 20. And while Kenner says she's most excited about meeting new boys, it's obvious she can't wait to get dressed up too. She's had her hot pink silk chiffon knee-length dress all ready to go. She has already requested her mom's help in filing and painting her fingernails and toenails pink. She wants to curl her hair and wear some type of statement hairpiece. She says Purchase is planning to wear something similar. We have to match. We're wearing pink, but she's wearing some jewelry around her neck, she said, showing off a photo on her phone of her best friend posing in her outfit. But that's all she would reveal about what folks can expect from her and Purchase this evening. I'm going to wear makeup, and heck yeah, I'm wearing lipstick. I don't want to say what color, that's a surprise, but it will be dark, she said. Mom doesn't like when I wear red, but I do it all the time anyway. Now I'll move to the local section of the Friday, February 10th News Gazette. At the top of the local section is an article titled, Need a Coat? Take One. Have extra, leave one. Couple start exchange with catchy sign, rack. It's by Tom Kasich. John and Lauren Biggin of Champaign saw a need, acted, and now downtown Champaign has an open-air coat exchange for people trying to stay warm in the late winter. We moved up here from Texas a couple of years ago, so for us, the cold is maybe a bigger deal, said John Biggin, a researcher on aging at the University of Illinois, who said he and his wife spend a lot of time in downtown Champaign. But we've just seen a lot of people who are out and about and don't look like maybe they've got the proper attire to keep warm on these cold nights. And so we just wanted to do what we could to help out. On Wednesday afternoon, during what turned out to be the biggest snowstorm of the season, Biggin put a coat rack on the Taylor Street Pedestrian Mall with small sign that reads, Need a coat? Take one. Have an extra? Leave one. He loaded the rack with a few adult-sized coats from home and child-sized coats they bought at Goodwill. I saw a news story on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and when I looked around, it looked like it had been done in a couple of other places, said Biggin, 33. So I came home and told my wife about it and asked if she wanted to do it, and she said, of course. We tried to get this set up a while ago, but we ran into some issues trying to figure out how to legally put this out there. And we got really lucky, and after kind of working with different groups, Cowboy Monkey, restaurant and bar, agreed to let us put it out on their porch. Blind Pig also offered, and so did Blossom, but we got a response from Cowboy Monkey first, and we went with them. Biggin said he hopes others who frequent downtown Champaign drop off coats and other cold weather clothing. If anyone wants to put mittens out there, I'm sure it would be okay, he said. As long as it hangs on the rack, I don't see any problem with that. We thought it was a good location based on the need, and since it has so much traffic down there, we thought there might be more people to come by and drop off a coat. Next is Clergy Corner, a weekly feature spotlighting area religious leaders, both in the pulpit and out of it, by managing editor Jeff D'Alessio. There's a picture with the caption, "The Reverend Irvin Williams, founder of Restoration Urban Ministries, stands in the nonprofit's food pantry on Thursday, holding bags of food to be distributed." Williams began his ministry with a food pantry only on March 15th, with a food pantry only on March 15th, 1993. Now, Restoration Urban Ministries serves more than 100 residents a month in transitional housing, distributes over 200,000 pounds of food a year, and 14,000 pieces of clothing to local people in need. A path that started with a stretch as an altar boy at the African Methodist Episcopal Church in his hometown of Cape Girardeau, Missouri, was interrupted in his 20s by addiction to drinking and drugs, continues today for the Reverend Irvin Williams, founder of Champaign's Restoration Urban Ministries. 1 year shy of its 25th anniversary, the nonprofit that Williams and wife Marilyn began has grown into a mega ministry that feeds, clothes, counsels, or houses 30,000 people annually. By popular request, we asked the Army veteran and former Sears department store manager to tell us about a few of his favorite things. Restoration Urban Ministries success story. We had a gangster come in to service one Sunday morning, just got out of the penitentiary, had a bad reputation in the area. Came in and heard me give my testimony, started weeping, came to Christ, and later got on staff here. Today, he is married with family, working and taking care of his family, faithful in church attendance and help. Song to sing in the shower or hum at work. Just My Imagination by The Temptations. Place to sit while taking in a service in someone else's church. Near the front, I don't like to be distracted when I'm looking for a God encounter. Non-church website, HGTV Caribbean Life. TV show, DC's Legend of Tomorrow. Memory of being an Army paramedic. Knowing that they made it because of what I did. Church that left me awestruck. Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicago suburb of South Barrington. Childhood comic book character. Superman. Personality trait in others. Empathy with a strong desire to help others. Thing about growing up with 11 siblings, the togetherness. I always feel distance whenever we visit, and it's time to leave. Actor, Robert Townsend. Menu item, crab legs or lobster. Way to spend a Sunday evening. After eating, get into my sweats and looking at some of my TiVo programs. Next is an article listed for Tolono, Dog Left Outside is Now Indoors. It's by Christine Walsh. A dog that had been chained up in the snow Wednesday in the yard of a house in the 100 block of Daggy Street has been taken inside the house by its owner, according to a family member who wished to remain anonymous. The family member said that the owner had been receiving death threats as well as threats to steal the dog after the News Gazette reported that the village board was taking legal action against the owner because of its treatment and because of the state of disrepair of the house and buildings on the property. The family member also said that the owner is living in the home, contrary to the neighbor's assertion that it is vacant. The village has directed our staff and attorney to to address any issues, President Jeff Holt said. I've been advised by the village attorneys to not make any comments because it's an ongoing investigation. Tolono resident Kim Robinson, a volunteer with Mobile Mutts Rescue Transports, went to the property to check on the dog but was unable to remove it. Rescue really gets tricky, especially when you get into abused animals, said Earl Stevens, the general coordinator for Mobile Mutts Rescue Transports and a board member of Mobile Mutts Rescue. With any legal case, there has to be a chain of custody until the case is adjudicated. What we can't do is go into a situation and just take a dog. That is theft. What we can do, and what anybody can and should do, is call the police. While laws vary from county to county, in Champaign County, Stevens said, animal control can ticket and fine owners if their animals are not up to date on rabies vaccinations, for example. Although rescue workers may be personally tempted to remove an animal from a situation they feel is problematic, that can lead to the owner pressing charges, Stevens said. We then undo all the good work that the rescue does because of that blemish, he said. We just can't risk that simply because if our rescue shuts down, there are hundreds of dogs that won't have foster homes. If people would like to help abused or neglected animals, one way to help is to volunteer to provide a foster home, Stevens said. The more homes we have, the more dogs we can save, he said. Even something as simple as posting a message on social media encouraging others to provide foster homes can help, Stevens added. Christine Walsh is editor of the County Star, a News Gazette community newspaper. Another article in the local section, Man Faces Charge for Firing at Car, by Mary Schenck. A Champaign County judge set bond Thursday at $400,000 for a Tennessee man who admitted he fired a gun from a vehicle at another car on Interstate 57. The Champaign County State's Attorney Office filed a single count of aggravated discharge of a firearm against Patrick Chapman, 21, of Cordova, Tennessee, in connection with a shooting that happened about 8 p.m. Tuesday on I-57, a mile north of Rantoul. The police report said a Chicago woman and her passenger told police they were headed south when they were fired on by a passing sport utility vehicle. Illinois state troopers found evidence of 3 gunshot defects in the woman's car and a grazing wound to her. A fired bullet was recovered from her clothing, the report said. The victim and her friend said they were in the left lane behind a Dodge Durango, which was behind a slow-moving semi-trailer. The woman in the car pulled into the right lane to pass, and as she moved alongside the Durango, it also began to move into the right lane, almost hitting her car. The woman honked and sped up to avoid a collision, staying in the right lane. She reported that the Durango then pulled up on her left. Her passenger heard shots, and she felt a burning sensation in her side. The report said Champaign police and state troopers stopped the Durango near Champaign and found a Glock handgun near it. Video from the Champaign squad car appeared to show a gun being thrown from the Durango, the report said. The report said some of the 6 adult occupants of the Durango told troopers that they thought the woman had cut them off in traffic and that as they pulled next to her car, Chapman lowered his window and shot at her car. Chapman told police he was frustrated with the driver of the passing car for cutting the Durango off, causing it to swerve at a time when his 2-month-old child was in the SUV. He also admitted he fired out the rear passenger side window at the car 3 times. The charge against Chapman is a Class 1 felony carrying a maximum penalty of up to 15 years in prison for conviction. Judge Brett Olmstead told Chapman to be back in court March 14th. That ends the Friday, February 10th, Part 1 News Gazette.